Hey, good morning, Northgate Community Church. This is Pastor Jesse here, and I'm really excited to get back in the pulpit, sharing some of the things that I've kind of been mulling over these last couple weeks, especially as we begin to transition into a new sermon series. But before we get started, there's a few things that I want to kind of have to maybe just announce, things to be, and also things to be praying for over the next couple weeks. First off, I want to say a huge shout out to all those folks who preached these last 12 or 14 weeks, I think it was. I love how we accept, acknowledge, we release people into this multi-voice experience, that the sermons don't need to come from the main pastor, that we know that we are a priesthood of all believers, and that the Holy Spirit works in each and every one of us here, both in Northgate, but also those who are outside of our Northgate family. Again, huge shout out, super proud of all those folks who stepped up to the plate, got out of that comfort zone, and really shared what the Holy Spirit was working in during the Fruit of the Spirit. Big shout out. Another kind of crazy thing with the part of this new hybrid, not meeting in person, you know, kind of meeting in person sometimes once a month, is there's probably a lot more of y'all experiencing Northgate Community Church from a distance. And I want to just take a few seconds just to say welcome. Great to have you guys here. We were able to reach about 5,900 people in this last sermon series. So if you've been like watching our videos, you've been seeing the kid videos, the worship sessions, and you're like, man, you guys all seem to be doing something even amongst the pandemic. I want to get on board with that. How do I get engaged? There's gonna be information probably right around here in the video. I'm not exactly sure. An email address for you guys to contact us if you have more information, or you just wanna know how to get plugged in with our Northgate community family. So those are kind of the first announcements. Things to be praying for. Two big things. This is happening, again, right during the fires that are happening near Vacaville in that particular part of the world. There's a bunch of fires that are happening right now. Again, please keep all those first responders and those people who are fighting that fire in your prayers. It's dangerous. I believe there was, you know, there's been several deaths attributed to this. Again, just as you pray throughout your week, keep those folks at the forefront. And of course, within the last couple of weeks, we had a good friend, Candy, pass away due to complications of COVID. So we want to keep the Moreno family and the Haskins family, keep those right there at the forefront of their of your prayers. If you want to support that family right now, you should be able to go to Carla Haskins' Facebook page, or even Candy's Facebook page. You can see there's a GoFundMe to help with, again, supporting this family in a time that just seems like impossible. So again, keep those things in your forefront of your prayer this week. So as we transition from Fruits of the Spirit into this new series, it's been really interesting, like I mentioned, to kind of hear and see how this mosaic or this patchwork quilt was kind of threaded together, and it with all of the different ways that, again, the Holy Spirit was moving with all of the different gifts. And again, for me, it's really important to know that we don't, we're not exempt from these fruits of the Spirit, right? We should, with the guidance of the Holy Spirit, with the power of the Holy Spirit, be able to live these out day by day. Again, we can only do that by relying on Jesus, of course. So it's really interesting, though, because I don't know if you remember way back. I mean, like, we're talking before Fruits of the Spirit, we were doing what? I'll give you 3 seconds. 3, 2, 1. That's right, spiritual gifts. And it's no coincidence that we dovetailed Fruits of the Spirit right after spiritual gifts. Because with those two aspects of our Christian life, of our Christian walk, it creates a complete picture of what it looks like to live a life like Christ. And we're gonna be entering this new series. It's called Won't You Be My Neighbor, all right? You know, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, all right? All you older millennials out there, all you Gen Xers, you all know what I'm talking about out there. We're starting this series called Won't You Be My Neighbor? And we're gonna spend just a few, 4 short weeks talking about what it looks like to neighbor both, like, literally next to your neighbor, okay? Literally the people that are living next to you, to the city-mindedness, right? What does it look like to neighbor with your city? that's going to be a fun week. We're going to have our friend Doug Montandon on that week. You don't want to miss that. And we're going to look at what it looks like to neighbor internationally. All right, we're going to have another voice speak into that conversation. And then kind of what does the Big C Church look like? What is it going to need? What are some of the thoughts and the strategies that we're going to need kind of in a post-pandemic church? So again, this could be four quick weeks as we look into that. But one of the key scripture verses that we're going to be looking at, and this is what we're going to be focusing on today, is Jeremiah chapter 29. Now, whenever I think about Jeremiah chapter 29, what's the one verse that always comes to mind? I'll give you 3 seconds. Two, one. Jeremiah 29:11, right? You can go to any Christian bookstore and they got like things that like say, "For I know the plans I have for you," right? You can get bookmarks with them. Again, that's a great passage of scripture, but I think a lot of times we take that particular piece of scripture out of context, right? It's that particular piece of scripture really speaks into the verses before it. And so today, I'm going to go ahead and read Jeremiah 29, verses 4 through 7. And this is going to start the bedrock, kind of the foundation for these next couple of weeks. And I'm going to pose maybe a challenge question pertaining to this section of passage of scripture, maybe taking a different look at something deeper going on here. So let me go ahead and read Jeremiah 29, verses 4 through 7 here. It says, "This is what the Lord of armies, the God of Israel, says to all the exiles I have deported from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce. Find wives for yourselves and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters to men in marriage so they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there. Do not decrease. Pursue the well-being of the city I have deported you to. Pray to the Lord on its behalf, for when it thrives, you will thrive." And of course, further on down the road there, we get that Jeremiah 29:11 verse. And it's really interesting. It's really important to understand where Israel is at in this particular time. Right. This is a Jeremiah's letter to the exiles. This is the prophecy that Jeremiah gave on behalf of God. It says, you are going to be overtaken by the Babylonian Empire. And of course, we end up seeing that ends up happening. And so this is happening at a time where it's really, really tough. The Israelite people had lost their way completely. They were worshiping and doing ordinances from other religions and other gods. They have really lost their way. They had forgotten the path of Yahweh. And so in this hard and tumultuous time, they have to kind of learn a lesson, right? They have to have something revealed to themselves. And that's kind of today, this is where we're going to be focusing on, is just Jeremiah 29:4. I think this is kind of the crux for what does it look like to be a good neighbor to, again, the people living right next to us and beyond. Let me read that again. "This is what the Lord of armies, the God of Israel, says to the exiles I deported from Jerusalem to Babylon." Again, seems pretty straightforward there. But I love doing a little bit of word study, and I found something really interesting in that particular passage right there. Where it talks about, when it says to all the exiles I've deported from. In the Greek, that word is galah. Again, galah twice. Now, one of the fun things that I've learned as I've done biblical study is whenever you get two words that are backed and they're the same, that means, hey, you better pay attention. And it's really interesting, this particular word does mean to send out or to exile, but the other half of this coin of this word means to have something revealed. Or in some Jewish contexts, they would say to have your ears opened. So it's almost like saying, again, knowing what we know about the Israelites leading up to this point, they had lost their way, that God had exiled them so that they might have something revealed, that maybe that there's something in their life that has caused them to step away or get out of step with Yahweh. And that to me is really important when seeing this scripture in its entirety. Because I don't know about you, we're currently located here in Manteca, California, and sometimes it could feel like God exiled me here, right? I've lived here my entire life. I haven't lived anywhere else in the valley except for Manteca. I've tried to leave, and for some reason, I still was just stuck here in this little podunk cowboy town. And after reading these passages of scripture, I think there's a lot of us that feel that way. Maybe we don't live in Manteca. Maybe we live in Stockton or Tracy, or maybe we live, you know, halfway across the world, like in China or Russia or wherever. And man, it seems like God is not letting me get out of this place. After reading this and having the study time, I go, man, maybe, just maybe, I'm not supposed to leave. Maybe there's something that needs to be revealed in me so that way my city can flourish, right? Maybe there's something that I have still yet to offer to this city, for the inhabitants, for the folks doing shopping, folks doing commerce, taking their kids to school. Maybe there's something that I still have to give in this community before it's time for me to leave. And I'm not saying I'm leaving, all right? I'm not going anywhere. I have no plans on going anywhere. We got a lot of awesome things that are happening here in Manteca, California, right? So for me, I had to actually shift the way that my mind was thinking. Instead of me thinking like I'm stuck here, I have to be able to begin to rethink that situation and go, no, the Holy Spirit's doing a great work here. And that's when another word hit me this week. It's awesome. It just hit me and I was like, oh, this is exactly what I needed to hear. And that is that the Holy Spirit is still working despite the pandemic, right? Now, if there's people here, I'd ask for an amen, but I'll just have you guys say it in your seats right there. I mean, I'm gonna say that again. The Holy Spirit is working despite the pandemic. And all evidence that I've seen over the last 6 months is this was kind of the thing. I'm not saying this is a good thing, but this is kind of the thing that helped speed up the work that he was already doing. You know, churches are having to pivot. Businesses are having to pivot. There's all this stuff that kind of seems like up in the air. But I think Jesus still wants to show off and show his people and the people in this community that, nah, it's the pandemic, I'm bigger than that. I will still provide for you. In fact, even despite an oppressive time, we're going to make the city flourish. And so with that, the cool thing is we spent, 20 weeks talking about spiritual gifts and the fruit of the Spirit, that we can't make our cities, our neighbors, our communities, our friends, our relatives flourish, right, individually and both corporately, without tapping into those gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us and through the leading of the Holy Spirit through the fruits of the Spirit. We gotta be able to have those two sets of characteristics, tools, learning, strategies, leaning in. We need to be able to release ourselves to say, no, this is who God has created me to be. And I'm gonna just continue to lead and lean into those giftings, right? There is never a time, at least the way that I've seen it, we're living in a time where we need the kingdom of God to rise up more than any time. The needs are up, people are losing jobs. It's time for us to pivot and rethink, what does it look like for church to operate? Again, the established church is great and will be here forever, but maybe this is an opportunity for us to think and do things differently. That's why I've been super proud about us at Northgate Community Church. We haven't dug in our heels and said, no, we're gonna do Sunday mornings the way we've always done it. No, we're open to seeing how Jesus is leading in new and fresh ways during this pandemic. And I've been really enjoying the way that we've been kind of tackling this head on, right? Businesses, what does it look like to have a Christ-centric missional community that revolves around business? I mean, I don't know if you know about this, folks. Again, for all you new folks out there, we're opening up a brewery here in town, right? And we're doing that in the middle of a pandemic, right? When so many businesses are failing, we seem that Jesus is ordaining this, right? He is saying, man, this is something good for your community. And the doors just keep opening, green lights keep going, stamps keep getting stamped. But it's not just because we've had a good idea, but it's because, man, I think we're supposed to do this. And to do this in a time such as this, I think, is a testament to see that, again, despite the pandemic and what's going on, Jesus is still at work. So, two questions here as we kind of like start landing the plane. As we begin to start looking into this Won't You Be My Neighbor series, is, has God placed you where you're currently at for a reason? All right? Has God placed you where you're currently at? This is like literally where you're sitting right now watching this video. Has God placed you there for a purpose? It's a rhetorical question, I guess, because I'm going to say yes, he has. All right. So then the flip side to that coin is, what is that thing? Right? Who are those people that he's called you to right there in your living room? Again, we're still supposed to be socially distanced. We want to respect that, but there's still great work that could happen directly left and right, up or down, for your neighbors. Again, why has God placed you here? Like, if it feels like he's exiled you, like I've felt so many years to this God-forsaken wasteland, but no, the commitment and perseverance is paying off. Not because of Jesse, you know, we're an instrument of his creation for sure, but because we've been obedient in those things. And it's been really exciting to lead and lean into that. And because of that, so the other side of that coin is, there's something that needs to be uncovered in your life that can make your city thrive, right? Again, when we talk about even city, we're talking like Manteca, your geographical global location right where you're at, or even international, right? Maybe you're outside of the U.S. borders, right? Or maybe you're called to go outside of our U.S. borders, right? Is there something that needs to be uncovered in your life, right? You know, it could be not necessarily just, it's not even just like acknowledging or confessing of sin, but it's like the life that's hidden within you, right? That thing inside, that dream, that passion, that drive that like bursts up from within to go and change and transform the lives of the people that you interact with, right? That's what I'm talking about here. We can't see those things, that gala, I have sent you so that you may have that revelation, so that way that your city and the people that you interact with thrive. That's what this is talking about. And this, folks, again, this was at a real bad time for the Israelites in Jeremiah 29. Again, I'm really excited. I don't know if you could tell. These are the things, the conversations, the strategies, these are the things that wake me up in the middle of the night. These are the things that I love talking about. Again, so kind of wrapping things up here, we spent a lot of time talking about spiritual gifts. We spent a lot of time talking about fruits of the Spirit. And now it's time to put those two things into action. So in the next couple of weeks, I'm going to have some action points, some practical things, and not just like heady, ambiguous Jesse talk, but actual things on how you can begin to be a good neighbor to the people around you, so that way our city will thrive. All right, really excited. Again, let me go ahead and pray us out here. So Jesus, thank you so much for your word, Lord. Thank you how it inspires your people on a daily basis. Lord, as we begin to tackle these questions of what does it look like to neighbor, Lord, we just pray that we begin to see that where we are at is exactly where we need to be. That we need to be able to discover the things in our life that produce that good fruit, Lord, the things, the passions that drive us into change and transformation, Lord. And again, Lord, I just pray that we'd be able to start praying through that, acknowledging it, and then living through it, Lord. So again, thank you so much, and I pray this in your name. Amen. All right, Northgate Community family, now it's your turn. Have a great rest of your weekend. God bless.